Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. Well, we're going to just continue on in the kind of theme that we're running with, which is this few weeks is about choosing life. And after half term, kind of end of October, beginning of November, we're going to kind of move into another kind of series that flows on, which we're going to call Choose Love. And this next few weeks is really about the power of words, the power of God's word, and the power of our words, and what happens when we speak. And we're going to be looking at the power of prayer, praying through the word, various things over the next few weeks. But then afterwards, we're going to kind of flow that into Choose Love, which is how do we really build healthy relationships. And so it's important in terms of understanding how powerful words are in our lives and what they do, the effect of them, the impact, because relationships, obviously words are powerful, but they are right at the heart of building strong friendships and relationships. So we're going to kind of flow into that. But really overarching all of that lot is we want to be true disciples. We want to be the disciples that God wants us to be. So we want to speak in the right way. We want to have relationships in the right way. And so we're going to look in the Word in different things. And tonight we're really going to look at the power of our words. Last week was looking at the power of God's Word. And as we live in line with God's Word, what happens in our lives? We also heard last week that, you know, when we do step out of line or we blow it or we fail, God doesn't come, you know, with a massive hammer on our lives. But you know, when we come to God and ask Him to forgive us, He restores us. He shows us mercy, grace, love, and God brings us back into the way we need to be. But we don't want to live like that, to and fro. We want to live consistent. We want to grow. We want to mature. We want to be the people that God has called us to be. So tonight we're going to be looking at the power of our words. And if we can use this phrase, words carry life, but they can also carry death, according to the Bible. How many of you heard this phrase? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can... Maybe we'll put a little twist on that tonight. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can hurt and kill me. Words often can have a lot more impact on our lives. You know, to say that words will never hurt me, I think a lot of relationships are destroyed because of words that are spoken. At the same time, we know a lot of relationships are built because of words that are spoken. In Proverbs 18, let's have a look there, verse 20 and 21. In Proverbs 18, it says, "From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Interesting couple of verses there. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. So our lives are either going to be filled in a positive way because of the words we speak, or they're going to be filled in a way that has a negative impact on us, depending on the words we speak. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. Words are powerful. The words we speak actually determine the quality of our life. And the quality of our life is dependent to a great degree on the kind of words that we speak. If you go around speaking a lot of the time, "Well, I'm just not really very good. I'm not worth it. I'm a waste of time. I'm an idiot. Oh, I've just blown it again. I'm a failure." What is happening in your life? What are you being filled with? You're being filled with negativity. You're being filled with, you know, but what are we speaking? We're speaking what is going on in us. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But at the same time, we can go around and we can agree with a different way of thinking than maybe how we feel or what other people might say about us. We can go around speaking in a different way and agree with somebody else. And we'll look at a little bit this more, a bit more as we go through tonight. But we can go around saying, "Thank you, Jesus, that you are my victory. Thank you, Jesus, that you are my wisdom. Thank you that when I need it, I can ask you and you give me wisdom. I thank you that I'm not an idiot any longer. I'm not unworthy. You've made me worthy." I thank you I'm a child of yours. I know that I don't get it right all the time, but I thank you that you don't deal with me as I deserve in the natural. But because you're merciful, you're gracious, you're kind, I thank you that I can come to you and not have to run from you. And when I come to you, I'm going to find mercy. I'm going to find your goodness. I'm going to find a place of rest and peace. I'm going to find that you're going to encourage me. I know sometimes you need to discipline me, but I know it's for my good and my benefit. So, Father, I thank you for your amazing love for me. I thank you that you're always looking to speak good over my life. You want things to go well over my life. I mean, when you begin to speak that over your life and you begin to thank God, you're not sometimes listening to your feelings. You're certainly not listening to the enemy and how he wants to speak over our lives. So the quality of our lives are very much dependent on the quality of the words that we speak. Genesis chapter 1, we find in the first few verses there that God begins to speak and he says, let there be. And whatever he speaks, things happen. Let there be light. And there was light. And whatever God spoke, things happened. Why? Because God is creative, because he is the creator. And when God speaks, things happen. But also in Genesis, we find that God says, let us make man in our image. And so in his image, we have been made. And so if we're in God's image and God has given us a mouth, he's given us a mouth to speak things. If we're made in his image, then God wants us to speak in the same way that he does. That when God speaks, life is released. When God speaks, something creative happens and life is released. So when we speak, God wants life to come from our lives, not something else that is contrary to whatever he wants to speak and do in our lives. So when God speaks, life is released. And in the same way, when we speak, we want life to be released. But we know there's somebody else who wants to pervert the truth. He wants to pervert things in our lives so that we don't live in the benefit of God's word and what God says. Instead, the enemy wants us to agree with his words so that we confess the things that he wants us to confess over our lives, like we're no good, things that are negative, things that are destructive, lies, slander, all of that kind of stuff. The enemy wants us to not believe the truth, not believe that we're created in God's image, not believe that we're made worthy, or even believe that actually when we speak life, things can happen. What's one of the main things the enemy loves to say to us? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You know, to think you can pray and things happen, or to speak life and stuff's going to happen. So the enemy wants us to agree with him, but yet how many of us in the room, we want to agree with God? Do we have anybody here tonight who wants to agree with God? Because we are here to be life givers, because we have been life receivers. God has given us his life. He has filled us with his life. He has put his spirit on the inside of us, and he wants life to come from our lives. And one of the main ways that happens is through the words that we speak. Words create, words define things, words shape things. And that can be positive, but it also can be negative. And so where does it come from when we speak? What is going on in our hearts and in our lives? So tonight we're going to look at two kind of key areas of speaking life in our lives. One is how words connect us with God and the power of those words. And the second part is words that we speak that connect us with one another and the power of those words. Is that okay? So if you want to get your Bible, you can turn to John chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of verses in there to begin with. It's been an interesting time over the last few weeks with the Scottish referendum. A lot has been said in the news and on social media. A lot has been written. A lot has been debated. A lot has been argued over. Whatever setting, whether it's on TV, whether in newspapers, magazines, whether you've had conversations with others, a lot of words have been spoken over the last few weeks, particularly the last few weeks, where suddenly I think for a lot of people suddenly dawned, hang on a minute, we could become separate countries before we know where we are and all of this kind of thing. And it's interesting how words have highlighted, not caused, but how words have highlighted what is on the inside of people. We see very nationalistic kind of attitudes coming out from different people, whether English or Scottish or whatever country. We see other kind of attitudes coming out where actually, I don't mind if we stay the same or it changes or whatever. But what people have come out with is what's going on in the heart. And so words have triggered debate. Words have triggered moments of potential violence or potential angst or, you know, and we're still to see maybe some of the results of these words and maybe people not getting what they wanted. But words reveal what is going on in the heart. Words themselves don't cause a reaction in and of themselves, but words trigger what is already going on in the heart that then you see a reaction because of what's going on in somebody's life. And just seeing that as an example, it's been interesting meeting, chatting to different people. I've asked one or two Scottish people that live in England, well, what do you think? And actually, they've been, well, I live down here and I don't live up there. On one level, yeah, it'd be great if Scotland was independent, but on another level, no, I think just let's stay part of the... And it's interesting, some of the conversations where I think, well, I don't particularly think of myself as just Scottish, independent, separate from England. I've kind of, you know, yeah, I've spoken to one or two others that are a little bit stronger, a bit more edgy, and it's like, whoa, okay, yeah, there's some things there, you know. And it's not just what somebody says, it's the way in which they say it. Because you can have a strong kind of opinion about something, but it can come across with a good heart. Or you can have a strong opinion about something, but it can come across with a little bit of an edge and a little bit of a, better not go much for this conversation, otherwise something could start kicking off here. And so words flow from what is going on the inside of our hearts. So let's just kind of take that and bring that thought into what we're going to look at here and look at words that connect us with God. When God speaks, God wants to bring the spiritual into the natural. God is spirit. God is not physical in that sense, in the same way that we are, but God is spiritual. So when he said, let there be, he spoke something spiritual, if you like, because God is spirit. And therefore, everything he starts, it starts spiritually. And so God spoke, but then we saw the reality in the natural. So when he said, let there be light, there wasn't any. But he said, let there be light. And then there was light that was revealed. Remember, the sun hadn't been created at that moment. It was the revealing of his light now to light up what he was then going to create on the earth and shape it and form it and do what he was going to do with it. So God always starts with the spiritual, but it has to be evident then in the natural. So the Bible says here in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John is stating here that before anything was around, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and we know that the Word is Jesus. But then in verse 14, it then says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now there was a reason why the Word had to be made flesh and had to come and dwell amongst us. There was this massive chasm between man and God, and this massive chasm was called sin. And something needed to happen to bridge that gap between God and man. And so what God did, he sent his Word, his Son, Jesus, who became flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So Jesus came to become the bridge between us and the Father. Then we use our words and our response to God to cross that bridge, if we can use this phrase, from death to life, from not knowing God to knowing God. It's amazing that what Jesus did on the cross was he took every sin, every sickness, everything that could separate us from God. He took it upon himself. He overcame it all. He cried, it is finished, it is done. So salvation is a gift. But it's out the words that we speak that determine whether we step over from death, being separated from God, into life, into relationship with God. Salvation is not automatic. It comes as a response to what God has done. But you are born again, or you become a Christian, or you get saved because there's words that you speak that come from your mouth, which we're going to look at in a minute, that enable you to come across this bridge through Jesus to then know the Father, to know God, to be saved. So let's have a look at Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through to 10. It says here, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And verse 13 then says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. Just think about that for a moment. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The power of the words that you spoke when you gave your life to Jesus, they completely changed the destiny of your life. When you asked God to forgive you for your sin and you, as the Bible says, repented, you turned away from living the life, your life your way, doing your own thing, and you ask God to forgive you, and you ask him to come into your life. At that moment, you crossed over from death to life, and those words that you spoke, those words that you prayed, were powerful because they changed the course of your life. They changed the eternal destiny of your life. The power of those words that came from your heart, out of your mouth, moved you from eternal death to eternal life, to having a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of all gods. Those few words, how powerful then, if you can pray some words, speak some words that change your eternal destiny, that move you from death to life, with a few words you say, God, forgive me for my sin. Would you come into my life and be Lord of my life? If you can speak words that transform the destiny of your life, how powerful then when you know God, when you have his life in you, how powerful are the words that he puts in your life that you can then speak? What can that do? If your prayer moved you from death to life, what life does God then want to release through you when you speak life to others? It's awesome, isn't it? When the day we got saved, the day you got born again, the first time you responded to God, I don't think we understood the power of the words that we were speaking. We didn't really understand what we were doing. We were just saying, I just need God. I need to be forgiven. I want to give my life to Jesus. You don't know a lot of the stuff you know now. And you just said, please God, would you forgive me? You might have written all the things down. You might have gone through them one by one. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. Forgive me for the other. I need you in my life. God, would you come and live in me? I want you to be Lord of my life. I give you my life. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. It was done out of a heart that, God, I don't really understand you yet. I don't really know what you're about, but I know I need to give my life to you. And you crossed over from death to life. How much more does God want to do in and through our lives? Now we're living in the life of who he is. How much does God want to release through our lives? How much power is there in God's life, God's word in us, that when we speak, what gets released? Pretty awesome. I don't know about you guys, but I pray. I obviously pray every day, spend time with the Lord every day. But every day I pray for my wife and I pray for my kids. And, you know, I speak life over them. Health. I pray health over my family every day. Not because we need it, because we're not healthy. I pray that so we don't get sick. So it's not like, I better pray that because I'm not feeling very well. It's like, no, we're going to stay in health. So, Father, I thank you for a healthy family. I thank you that my wife is healthy today. I just speak life and health over her today. I thank you for my kids, that they're going to walk in the health of who you are. Thank you that you are our healing. You are our health. You are our wholeness. And I speak that over my family. It's like, Father, I thank you for my wife. She's amazing. She's brilliant. And I thank you for her. And I say to the Lord a lot of the time, I don't deserve her, but I thank you that you bless me with my wife. And I speak your goodness over her life. Why? One, because I've got responsibility to do that, but also because I want the best for her. And I want her to live in life. I want my kids to live in life. And I don't want to just say, well, I better pray now because I need to. And I'm not praying out of fear either. Oh, if I don't pray this, something bad's going to happen. No, I think God's bigger than that.
Very good.
But at the same time, it's like, no, we're going to live in the fullness of who God is. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 12 for a minute. Is this all right? You with me? So the power of your words when you're responding to God move you from death to life, change your eternal destiny. Fairly simple prayer. Pretty powerful, eh? Matthew 12, some interesting verses in here we're just going to look at for a minute. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the one to come. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, and make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit." He's speaking to the religious leaders, right? And he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. For the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken." Wow. "For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned." Quite sobering words there, aren't there? "By your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned." Let's have a look at something for a moment. Jesus says here that anyone who speaks against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. I don't know if anybody's ever asked you the question, you know, that's the unforgivable sin, isn't it? You know, the one that's not forgiven. What exactly is that? Well, there is no sin that you could ever do that is beyond God's ability to forgive you. Otherwise, that would be saying there's a sin that you can commit that God cannot forgive. There is no sin on the planet that God cannot forgive and redeem you from. Even maybe if people into devil worship and they renounce God and all the things that they do in those ceremonies and everything, you would have heard stories, read stories. You might have even met people that used to be Satanists or witches or whatever, and they've repented and they're now born again. They're filled with the Spirit. They're set free from all their stuff and all the things that they were involved in, and they're now a new creation in Christ. Is that right? Otherwise, we'd be saying there's some things that some people do that are too far for God to forgive. Well, there are things that are done against, and people say, "Oh, I don't believe in Jesus," or this, that, or the other. But what this means here in terms of anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction and reveals who Jesus is in our lives. And I believe that God wants everybody to have the opportunity to respond to the gospel. But if you never respond to the gospel while you're alive, you might have heard the gospel, but if you never respond to the gospel in your life, you never ask God to forgive you, then you're never going to be forgiven in this life for what you've done. Because you've never actually come before God and repented of your sin. And then when you stand before God one day and he says, "Well, what did you do with the life that I gave you? Because you heard all about me, you had the opportunity to respond to me. What happened?" And when somebody stands before God one day and says, "Well, I did hear about you, but I wasn't interested, didn't want to respond to you." By that point, it's too late. And in one sense, what this verse is speaking about is the Holy Spirit has revealed Jesus. He's revealed the way to salvation. He's revealed, here's the opportunity to give your life to Jesus, to come to know the Creator, to come to know the one that you're destined to know. But yet if people say, "No, I'm not interested, don't want to know," and they die never having responded, their sins are never forgiven on earth because they never responded to God. And therefore, when they stand before God, they stand in a place of unforgiveness, condemnation. But yet when you respond to God on earth and you ask Him to forgive you, He forgives you. He wipes the slate clean, gives you a totally new beginning. You become a new creation in Christ. And the Bible says in John 5, I think verse 14, 15, that when you believe in God and you respond to who He is, that you move from death to life. You move from condemnation, out of condemnation, and you come out of that into new life with Him. That there's now no condemnation on your life any longer because God has forgiven you. Now the amazing thing is for us as Christians, when we stand before God one day, yes, we're going to have to give account for our lives. But as we seek to live before God in the way that He wants us to, then we're seeking a way that we want to live with short accounts with God. That when the Bible says here, we'll be acquitted by the words we speak or we'll be condemned by them. If we live in a place where, with God, where it's like, God, I want to keep short accounts with You. I want to live clean. I want to walk with You in the way that You want me to walk with You. Then there's no fear of that judgment day. Because we're not living under condemnation. Because we have been forgiven. And we're seeking to live a life where we go on being forgiven. Because when we do blow it, make a mistake, mess up, we come before God and say, Father, would You forgive me? I messed up there. I'm sorry I lost my rag there. I'm sorry I've been negative there. Father, would You work in my heart and just... You see, because we want to live in that way. We want to walk in that way. Is that right? And so there's a confidence then to stand before God, that we're not standing before God knowing that we're unforgiven in that sense, because during our lives we sought to walk in the salvation that He gave us, to live as a person that is keeping short accounts with God. So there's no fear of that day. But what I believe God wants to just help us with tonight, I know many of us have known God maybe for many years, is the power of our words. A few simple words moved you from death to life. But yet a few simple words that are not spoken keep people in a place of separation from God. And if that power, the power of our words, can move us from death to life, then what is it like when we have God's life in us? What can flow from us? So let's just take a few minutes and look at the second part, which is words that connect us with one another. Do you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 18 for a minute? Proverbs 18. As you turn there, in Mark 12, it's talking about a tree, a good tree bearing good fruit and a bad tree bearing bad fruit. How many of you are a good tree in the room? You want to bear good fruit. This is what God wants us for us, that what flows from our lives bears good fruit. In Proverbs 18, verses 23 to 24, it says here, from the fruit of his mouth a man's stomach is filled. We've already read a couple of these. With the harvest from his lips he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. A poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I don't know about you, but when I read those five verses there, do you ever read the Bible and wonder why some verses are where they are? And you think, why is that one in the middle of that lot? But how many of you know that God doesn't get anything wrong? He always does everything by design. He knows in the word why he's put the things where he has. And it's interesting how verses 20 and 21 talk about what comes out of our mouth, the power of the tongue is life and death. Then he slips a verse in there that seems a bit out of context. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And then it says, a poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. You think, hang on a minute, why did he drop that in there? Because God knows at the heart of any relationship is words. To build a strong relationship, it needs words. Two-way communication. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. All the wives go, yeah, my husband's favored because he married me. I think that's good anyway. But you build a marriage, you build a relationship. Even it talks in 24 about having many companions, friends, who stick closer than a brother. When you make covenant, covenant is made using words. What is covenant at its heart? I'll never ever leave you and I'll never ever forsake you. When you get married, you say, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for better, for worse. You're saying, when things are going great, brilliant, and if things are tough and not going the way we want them to, I'm still totally committed to you. I'm not going to look to the left or to the right. I'm not going to look for somebody else. I'm not just going to give in because I'm making covenant with you. We're going to stick together until death us do part. A covenant is made with words. Even, you know, that friends can stick closer than a brother. So you could have a brother that's a blood brother. You're of the same family, but yet you could have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Why? Because you've been through some stuff together. You've shared things about your life. You've spoken words to one another. You've let people into the innermost part of your life. You've talked and there's been, you might not put it like this way with some of your best mates, but it's like you've got a covenant friendship. That when they're going through it, you're there for them. When you're going through it, they're there for you. And you know that you're going to be mates till the day you die. You're going to be friends, that nothing's going to separate you. And what really bonds you with those people? Words. Words that come from the heart. Because words connect. Words build relationship. Words form covenant in our lives. Words are powerful. I've got, apart from Jane, probably my best mate, that whenever we see each other, it's like we were together 5 minutes ago. You just pick up where you left off. You can have a laugh 1 minute, but the next minute, boom, you're really serious about something. You're really relaxed, you feel you can be totally open, and you can just share whatever's going on in you, and you know they're not going to sit there and go, oh my word, I didn't realise that's what he was going through. You know, or you're not going to freak him out. You're not going to... Why? Because your friendship is stronger than any circumstance. What has connected you? Words. Opening your heart, opening your life to one another. To build a good marriage or good friendships involves words. What are you doing? You're speaking life. How many of you know that any breakdown in relationship involves words? So we connect with words, but we can also disconnect with words. Maybe some cultures are easier, or they find it easier to talk about things than others. English people, we're quite reserved in some ways, aren't we? And we don't necessarily like conflict or confrontation. Not an easy one. I don't know if I know anybody who loves confrontation. You know. Oh, I love confrontation. Let me, you know. It's like, I don't know. None of us like that. But words are always involved in a disconnect. You know, obviously one of the things that happens in church life is sometimes people go through marriage challenges or difficulties. And one of the first things, you know, when you talk to people is, well, what's going on? What have you been saying? What have you been talking about? What are some of the things that go on? And you begin to hear what they've been saying about each other. And it's like, wow, okay. There's some stuff here, and okay, it's easy to say you need to change your confession, but it's what's going on in the heart. But you see, stuff begins to get said, and things begin to divide. And unless there's a change of heart, and then a change of words, things aren't going to be restored. So words flow from our heart, and words form and strengthen and build relationships. Now, this is pretty straightforward stuff, and you know this, but I want to just look at a few words. First of all, negative, and then we'll look at the positive. Is that okay? In terms of words that connect us, the power of words in our relationship. Words that cause death in our relationships or cause division, separation, disconnect. Negative words. What do they do? What does negative words do? Negative words, they wear us down. You know, you can know somebody and they're just a bit negative about something. You think, oh, you know, okay, they're just having an off day or whatever. But you know, if somebody really gets a negative attitude about something and they're just going on and on and on, it begins to wear you down. Begins to, it's like, hang on a minute, look, can you just change your tune, change the record or whatever. But, you know, negativity wears you down. If somebody's being negative about you all the time, it wears you down. You just feel like, oh, this is just hard work. You feel worn down. What does gossip do? Gossip pulls you down, pulls people down. So negativity wears you down, but gossip pulls people down. Verse 28 of Proverbs 16, a perverse man stirs up dissension and a gossip separates close friends. It brings division, pulls people down. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into a man's inmost parts. See, what do? Words are like seeds. So words are sown. So if you've never met my wife, okay, and I describe her to her, say, oh, my wife's brilliant. I love her. She's amazing. She's like, you know, she's really positive. And I describe my wife. When you meet her, you're going to expect her to be like that, you know. But if I kind of describe my wife, say, well, you know, sometimes she's really positive and really, you know, amazing, encouraging, this and that. But other times, man, she goes on like a dripping tap, like it talks about in the Bible. And man, she moans and groans at me. Now, you're going to be like, wow, okay, his wife sounds really good on one hand, but sounds like a right old bag on another. So I've already painted a picture of what she's going to be like. So when you meet her, I've sown things into your life about my wife. And I'm not talking about my wife, I'm just, you know, using an example. And in your mind, you can be like, on one level, she sounds really nice. But on one level, wow, she's going to be a right old moaner by the sound of it. I wonder what she's going to be like. See, words, they're seeds that we sow. When we gossip or we're negative, what we're doing, we're putting seeds into people's lives about other people. Did you hear that? Did you know what so-and-so? Did you know? Oh, I just, you know. And what it does, the next time you see that person, because now somebody said something, in the back of your mind, it's very easy to have something going on the inside of it. It's like, shall I trust them or not? Because obviously they've had a bit of a to-do with this person. They've fallen out. And shall I trust them or not? And somebody's put a seed of distrust in you about that person. You know what I mean? But what does the Bible say? When words are many, sin is not absent, which causes death. But he who holds his tongue is wise. See, when you gossip, what is it? It's just loads of words. We see that all over social media, don't we? People putting up their opinions, their moans and their groans, whatever form of social media. And I think as Christians, we need to wise up a little bit and maybe just put a break on our tongue or our fingers, typing out what's in our heart, and just leave off some of that stuff and actually be a little bit more wise. So, no, I'm not going to join in with that. I'm not going to contribute to that. I'm not going to put fuel on the fire for that. Actually, I'm going to take a few steps back and not put fuel on that fire. Because I don't want to put morsels in people's hearts and cause other people to trip over because of what might be going on in me. So I want to, if I have got an attitude, I want to sort that out and not let it out. Third one here, slander. What does slander do? Slander tears down. So negativity wears down, gossip pulls people down, but slander tears people down. Because when you're slandering, you're really starting to have a go then. Gossip's one thing, isn't it? I mean, gossip's rubbish anyway. But gossip's one thing, oh, do you hear about so-and-so, la, la, la. But then when you begin to slander, that's at another level altogether. And that tears down, it tears relationships. And then lying, fourthly, is completely opposite to the truth or what the truth is in a situation. What does lying do? It totally breaks down relationships. So there's like a kind of developing here. Negativity wears down. Gossip pulls down. Slander tears down. Lying breaks down. Causes destruction. Words are powerful. But we're people of life. We're people of the truth. What does the Bible say? Reckless words pierce like a sword. That causes death. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever. That's life. But a lying tongue only lasts for a moment. It causes death. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. I don't know, when we're talking about this stuff, how many of you, when we're talking about truthful lips endure forever, the truthful witness gives honest testimony, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. How many of you, when we read these verses, go, yeah, that's what I want to be like. And when we speak things like, but the false witness tells lies, or the reckless one pierces like a sword, or the tongue, la, 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 everybody, oh, I don't want to be like that. See, what's going on inside you? The Holy Spirit in you, you know, in your spirit is rising up saying, no, I want to be a person of the truth. No, I want to be somebody who speaks life. I want to be wise. I want to be somebody who resolves things and deals with stuff and brings the positive out. Is that what goes on the inside of you? Let's have a look at a few positive words then instead. That's what we've found negativity, gossip, slander, and lying does. But what are other things do? We're going to release life. What does encouragement do? It builds up, strengthens. When you encourage somebody, man, I think we need to do more of that. Just encourage people. I don't mean you just flatter people, because flattery is not good. That's soulish. But encouragement is like, I just love what you're doing. You're doing such a good job with that. Or I've just seen what God's been doing in your life, mate. And it's so good to see how you're growing in the things of God. Or you notice that, you know, I heard that you helped somebody out and you bought them a washing machine, or you took somebody out for lunch. Or, mate, I just want to encourage you. That is so, so good. Thanks for just loving on that person. Thank you for blessing them, you know. So you're encouraging them because you want to build them up. Hey, you're doing a great job, mate. You're doing well. Compliment. It's good to compliment people. You know, I love your guitar playing, mate, in the worship. I just, you know, it's just when you're playing, mate, I just love the way you're playing and the way you just want to. What does that do? It adds worth to their life. When you praise people, up in Horsham once a month, we do Hero of the Month, and we give a little kind. We've got a little glass. What do you call it? Trophy thing that's made of glass thing. That we, is it glass? Is it made of, anyway, it's made of something like that. But it's got Hero of the Month on it. And once a month, we just totally by surprise, they don't know who it's going to be. So we bring them up on stage and we say, you know, this person's just been brilliant in the life of the church the last few weeks, or the last few months, and the way they've served or blessed people, this, that, and the other. So we want to thank them, we want to bless you, we want to pray for you, and you're our Hero of the Month. When everybody stands up, claps and cheers and all that kind of stuff. And we give them there's an ice cream shop in town. There's amazing Sugar and Snow. I don't know if you know about that. If you haven't heard of that one, you've got to go up to Horsham. Go to Sugar and Snow and it'd be brilliant. Go there. But we give them a voucher, 25 quid or whatever. Take your husband and wife, take your kids or your mates, whoever. Just go and have a great time and nosh up on ice cream. What are we doing? We want to praise them. We want to encourage them. What does that do? That lifts people. Praise. It's good to praise people. Lift people. When you speak well of somebody, another way of releasing life, to speak well of them. Bring a good report about stuff. Bring a good report about people. For us in leadership, you know, we're, every week we're always looking across the life of the church. How's it going? What's happening? What's going on? What's healthy? What isn't so healthy? What do we need to adjust, tweak? What's not so good? What do we need to do? Who's doing well? Who do we need to invest in? What's going? We're always doing that, right, in the life of the church. But if we have an issue about something, we don't all sit around and have a moan. You know, in a leadership meeting, we don't all sit there and go, you know, so-and-so in the church, well, blow me down. You know, we ought to line them up and kick the living daylights out of them. They're being such a pain in the neck. They are so negative and all of that. We don't sit there going, right, let's all just and have a go at them. You know, there might be something that's not so good. But we have to make sure that when we talk about something that is not going well or a person that's not doing so good, that we do it with the right attitude, the right heart. Because it's important that we address things that are not healthy or if something's not good. What are we going to do? How do we need to handle this? Who's going to sort this out? What do we need to say? And how do we need to say it? Because how you say something is just as important as what you say. Because you can say something that you mean to come out the right way, but in the moment, if there's a little bit of tension in the room, it doesn't take much before you come out with something that sounds a little bit like you're winding me up and you begin to get annoyed, you know. But that's where you have to have a bit of self-control that comes from the Holy Spirit, so that what you say and the way you say it comes out in the right way. So we might have to deal with a situation. We talk about, you know, okay, the situation is not very positive. It's not, okay, so what do we need to do? Okay, well, this is the issue. And we think this is why, or where this person's at, or why it's like this. Okay, what do we need to do then? Okay, well, let's do this. Who's going to deal with it? How are we going to... And we can't start having a, oh, yeah, no, did you hear what they did the other day? And, oh, well, I can't believe what they did. You know, we can't have a meeting like that behind closed doors, thinking, well, nobody else is in the room. They're not going to know, are they, if we have a right old go between us? Because what does that do? It sows negativity in each one of us about that person. And then what do? We put them in a box. Well, they're just this. Well, they're just that. And they're just the other. They're never going to change. They're never going to be different. So they're just that. So God's never, we're never, we expect God to do anything in their life because we've just stuck them in a box. But actually, as leaders, we're like, okay, what can we see happening in their life so that they can move on and something new and fresh can happen in their life. So we want to bring a good report. Even when stuff is not good, that doesn't mean we just gloss over it and make something sound good. So if something isn't good around you, you're not, you know, but how we speak about people is really important. So speak well of people. Bring a good report. Sow something positive rather than something that might be negative. Let's have a look. Just one more verse. I think we've already read this. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. We're life givers in the room. God has only ever spoken things to you and to me, to us in our lives, that encourage us, build us up, strengthen us. Even when God has had to maybe speak to you about something in your life, convict you or challenge you about something, he's never done it in a way that crushes you. He's never done it in a way that condemns you. That's amazing, isn't it? If anybody would have the right to say something to us, say, you've really blown it this time, sunshine, you're an absolute, you know, whatever, then he would, because he's perfect. But yet he never does that. He convicts us. It's like, oh, actually, that's not right in my life. I need to get that right. Now, God has spoken to me strongly in the past, but it only normally gets to that point because I wasn't responding to what he was already saying before. God doesn't start with, oi, you, what are you doing? And I've had that once or twice from the Lord, you know, because I wasn't listening, wasn't responding, to the point where I knew, you know, I sat down one day to pray and God said to me about a particular situation, Clive, what on earth do you think you're doing? Literally, what on earth do you think you're doing? And I'm like, it was about a situation with another person, that a bit of conflict and all of that, and I just got a really negative attitude about them. And I wasn't necessarily speaking loads of negative to other people about them, but in me I was like, you know. And I knew they were speaking stuff about me and all that kind of stuff, and God said to me, what on earth are you doing? Go and get right with that person, go and sort it out, and go and ask them to forgive you. I'm like, but it's not my fault. It's all that person. I've done nothing to deserve that. And God said, go and ask them to forgive you and say sorry to them for having a bad attitude towards them because you've got a bad attitude. I'm like, all right. It started off a few weeks before that when God said, Clive, you need to sort that, mate, because it's not good. Don't leave it like that. It was that kind of thing. And I knew I've got to sort it. But I thought, I don't know how to. It's going to be hard. They're probably, it's just not going to go well. So I kept leaving it. And you know when you keep leaving something, the Holy Spirit just goes, oi, Clive, sort it. Just get it sorted to the point where it's like, what are you doing? Come on, get it sorted, you know. But it still wasn't condemning. It was like, right, I've got to go and sort it. So we did. And it was okay in the end. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The quality of your life is dependent or determined to a great degree on the quality of the words that you speak. Because the words you speak come from the overflow of the heart. Let's just deal with the negative first of all tonight. And if you know in any way, shape or form, you've got negative about something, or you've been gossiping in any way, or you know you've slandered somebody, or you know you've even lied, or told half-truths, or tried to cover something, or whatever, anything like that, where you know you haven't spoken well of somebody else. Let's just bring that before the Lord right now. It's like, God, where I've spoken death instead of life, I ask you to forgive me. Where I've taken umbrance, I ask you to forgive me. When I've been negative, I ask you to forgive me. Where I've gossiped, you might have even put stuff on social media that hasn't been positive. It's just all your own opinion. You've ended up having a go at somebody or other people or whatever. Slandered, or you've just been negative. Father, forgive me. I don't want to live like that. First part of our response is, God, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Father, I was wrong. I ask for your forgiveness. Maybe there are people in the room today that you don't know Jesus. And when we're speaking about the power of words bringing you, as we said, from death to life, it's like, well, I've never talked to God. I've never responded to God. I've never prayed anything to ask him to forgive me. Maybe today you want to make a response to the Lord, and maybe in your heart it's like, well, actually, I've been wrong and I need to be forgiven. You know, God is building a family and he wants you to be part of it. God doesn't want you to be outside of his family. He doesn't want you to be outside a relationship with him. He wants to bring you into his family. He wants to bring you into relationship with him. And the starting point is saying, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I need to be forgiven. The second part of responding to God is that you believe that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, as we read about him earlier on tonight. Do you believe that Jesus is Lord tonight? Maybe those that don't know Jesus and you want to respond to him tonight. Firstly, you recognize I'm wrong, I need to be forgiven. But do you believe that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead? And then do you want to invite God to take first place in your life? It's that simple to respond to God. Maybe many of us here tonight, we already are believers. We know God already. And we're just saying, Father, I was wrong about some stuff. Would you forgive me? I need to ask you for your forgiveness. I want you to be first place in my life in a fresh way. I want to be a person that speaks life, not death. I want to build others up and encourage them. I want to be somebody who lifts people because I encourage, build them up, speak well of them, compliment them, encourage them. I want to be a lifter. I want to be somebody who adds worth into people's lives. I want to be somebody who brings a good report. I want to be somebody who's a reconciler, not a divider in any way, shape or form. Father, I want to keep short accounts with you. I thank you that you have brought me out of death and brought me into life. But Father, knowing that I have your life in me, I want to be somebody who speaks life, releases life and produces life in others because of your life in me. I want to be a life giver, Jesus. And I thank you I have the power of your life in me. Maybe those that don't know Jesus tonight, if there is anybody here and you want to respond to him, just take a moment. Say, God, I was wrong. I need to be forgiven. Would you forgive me, please? I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead, and I want you to be first in my life. So would you just respond to my response to you tonight? As I take that first step, God, I want to respond to you to be forgiven and for your life to come into my life. I want to surrender to you. If that's what's going on in your heart tonight, then you're ready to respond to give your life to Jesus. If you're not there yet and you just say, well, I want to find out more, I've got some questions, brilliant. Continue just to seek and to ask questions. But if you know in your heart, I need to be forgiven. I want to know Jesus. I want to give my life to him. I want to follow him. I want to know him in the way that it sounds like you do, or you're talking about, or other people in the room do. If that's where you're at, you're ready to respond to him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If that is somebody who respond, then I'll be here afterwards. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe let's just speak some things over our lives before we close tonight. Firstly, just thank God for his amazing mercy and grace in your life. Thank you for his unfailing love. Thank you for his words of covenant that the Bible says, I'll never ever leave you and never ever forsake you. He's going to keep his part, but he also gives us his spirit to enable us to keep our part. He doesn't say, try and do it in your own strength. He says, no, here's my Holy Spirit. Here's the power of my spirit to enable you to live in covenant relationship with me. Let's just speak life over our lives tonight. Thank you, Jesus, that you're speaking life. The Bible says that he sees us as a fruitful vineyard and that he speaks life over us, that we'd be fruitful. So let's just speak over our own lives. Father, I thank you that you call me to bear fruit and fruit that remains. I thank you that you are the life that within me. So I speak health over my life. I speak your goodness over my life. If you're married, just speak God's goodness and life over your marriage. If you've got kids, just speak God's goodness, God's health, God's well-being over your kids. If we've all got friends and wider family, just speak God's goodness over them. Just thank the Lord for them. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my mates. I thank you for healthy friendships. I thank you for deep friendships. I thank you, Father, for friendships that are going to last for the rest of my lives. I want to invest in my friends. I want to invest in my marriage. I want to invest in my kids. I thank you, Father, that when I speak, life gets released from my life. So I choose now not to criticize, judge, condemn, slander, be negative in any way. I choose, Father, to bring a good report. I choose to speak life over my friendships, relationships, over my family. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your awesome name. I thank you for the power of your life in me. And when I speak, the power of your life that is released through me. We praise your mighty, awesome name. Just thank the Lord. Thank him tonight. Just thank him for his amazing life, his amazing goodness. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.